Hunt, hunt, hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He has come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
Always great to check in with our friend and teammate Jason Wilde, specifically regarding the Green Bay Packers. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today? Are you getting snow where you are?
We are. We got about 3 inches right now.
Oh, we're getting dumped on, absolutely dumped on this morning. So remember, everybody out there, be safe, take it slow, get to where you're going. Jason, you guys had Mel Kiper on your show yesterday. He said a lot of interesting things. The one that I'm most interested in was his conversation about Cooper DeJean. This guy, for whatever reason, has been very polarizing for Packers fans. Some people really like him, and some people think, nah, he doesn't fit the scheme as well as some other players might. What was the impression you got talking to Mel Kiper yesterday about Cooper DeJean as potentially being a Green Bay Packer?
That he's really good. And if you want to play him at safety, you can play him at safety. If you want to play him at corner, you can play him at corner. I'll be honest, I understand that there are people that fancy themselves experts. I don't know enough yet about Jeff Hafley to be able to authoritatively say, well, this guy doesn't fit his scheme. I don't know. I would defer to Chewy. He's the one who played in the NFL. But I think good players can always fit your scheme, and you make adjustments to your scheme to make good players play well. And you'll find a spot if you think the guy's that good. So I don't know. You're right. He is polarizing. There are people that have strong opinions about him. I'm not sure why that is. It's not like he played offense for Iowa. That would be a good reason to ask a question about whether he's any good. He's an intriguing player. I mean, if he's the number one safety in Mel's opinion, but he's also like the second or third top-rated corner, I want somebody that has a skill set that allows him to play both like that. That is not very typical. So, you know, we'll see where he goes. We'll see if he's still available when the Packers pick, and we'll see if the Packers want him or not.
Jason, what are they doing with Rudy Ford? And if the season was to start today, who is penciled in at number one at that other safety spot?
Probably Anthony Johnson Jr., the seventh round pick that they took last year out of Iowa State. But yeah, I don't think they're done. They can't be done, right?
They
don't have enough safeties right now. I do think, and this isn't just wild speculation, this is kind of how Goody talked, at the scouting combine last month, that after what happened on offense last year, with all those young guys growing quickly and being ready to play and play well down the stretch and going through growing pains together, he wants to do that on the defensive side of the ball. He flat out said it. And so maybe they are done. Maybe they don't think that there's a need to add too much more. I think they only have three of their own unrestricted free agents that are still available that either haven't re-signed with them or signed elsewhere, and Rudy Ford is one of them. Your guy, Josiah DeGuara, also one of them. Look, I think they still need help at safety. I think one of the things that Goody has been really good about beyond his draft picks has been finding bargain players later in the free agency cycle that can help them. I would think that he would still want to do that. But again, if he wants to replicate on defense what they did on offense last year, I would say that was great, but that's not typical and that's not easy to do. And B, I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's what he did.
Jason, we've had the conversation before about the NFL kickoff, and it seemed like they were trying to get rid of it. But with this new hybrid kickoff proposal that they're going to be talking about next week at the owners' meetings, it seems like they're trying to revive it. So am I to believe that there's an actual possibility that they pass this through and try to save the kickoff?
I think so. I think what they have found is that their coaches, their players, do not want the kickoff eliminated completely. And while they have kind of half-heartedly eliminated it with some of the more recent rules changes, I think the feeling here is that they need to find a way to make it a little more compelling. And that, you know, that's a great thing about these minor leagues, if you will, is that it does, and they've got connectivity between the NFL and what is it now, the UFL?
The UFL.
Where they're able to test drive stuff. And this seemed like a really good incubator to try these types of things and see if they work and are effective. And so, yeah, I think there's a chance they're going to do this. I think it, what does it need, 24 votes to pass
mm-hmm.
out of the 32? I wouldn't be surprised. And I remember asking during the season, Troy Vincent had made a comment about how the kickoff was basically dead. And I remember asking Rich Bisaccia about that. And Rich Bisaccia gave, you know, a pretty passionate response of saying, I don't really care what Troy Vincent says. The kickoff needs to remain in football. And maybe there's been a groundswell of that beyond him that has led to them saying, all right, let's figure out a way that we can serve both the idea of keeping guys safer and keeping the play as part of the game and have it be still a meaningful play. Because I think we can agree, Keyshawn Nixon made it a meaningful play two seasons ago. Last season, it became even more difficult to make it a meaningful play. And most teams, if you kicked it to come down inside the 25-yard line, many teams fair caught it so they get it at the 25.
Jason Wilde hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this snowy Friday morning. And since we're talking about special teams, let's just continue it for a moment. Can never have enough teams talk on a Friday. Apparently, Bill Huber reported yesterday that the Packers almost signed a veteran kicker to serve as a challenger to Anders Carlson. Is not revealing who that kicker was, but it does sound like the Packers at least know they need to have some kicking competition. Do you think that this will be a legit thing? Josh, you was quick to remind us this morning that Mason Crosby was in a quasi-kicking competition at one point, but it was not a real kicking competition.
How dare you besmirch Giorgio DeVecchio like that, Jen?
Yeah.
You could have given me $1 million and I wouldn't have been able to pull out
Giorgio DeVecchio.
Well, don't feel bad, Jen, because Mike McCarthy didn't know his name. Sergio.
Sergio. That sounds better.
Sergio Tavecchio. Yeah, he didn't even bother to try Tavecchio. And there were a couple of other. They brought another guy in late in camp one year, and they had Kickin' Sam Ficken a few years ago as well. Look, again, Flat out said that they were going to bring in competition. I would love to know. You know, Bill's really good at getting agents to talk to him, and I'm guessing that he had someone tell him, you know, this my guy was ready to go sign with them, and maybe it was on the kicker's side that he decided, yeah, I'm not sure that this is a real competition. I don't want to be Sergio Tavecchio to Anders Carlson's Mason Crosby. But I would say this. I think they will have kicking competition. I think, you know, what was weird about that last year was that they so are big believers in the value of competition, right? Like, how many times do we hear LaFleur and Goody talk about how valuable it was to have all these wide receivers that were kind of all on the same plane, and you're competing to keep your starting job if you've risen up the ranks because the guys behind you are nipping at your heels. And the one place where they really didn't compete was kicker. They just handed the job to Anders Carlson. And so maybe they see this as a way to make him more effective and give him an opportunity, you know, to feel that competition and rise to the occasion. I mean, you know, the only other place that I remember a guy, and this is based on Adam Stenovich's comments, but like, he threw Yosh Nyman under the bus in a big way for not rising to the competition. And quite frankly, I feel like this coaching staff believes that if you're not the type of guy that rises to the level of the competition, then we don't really want you around. And that's kind of how they treated Yosh last year.
Last thing for you, Jason. It's a big day of basketball as both Wisconsin and Marquette will be in action. What is the most important thing for a sports bar, for that type of venue, for you? We're putting it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Is it quantity and quality of televisions? Is it the bar food? Is it the deals? Gabe was talking about these places that offer a bucket of beers. Is it the ambiance, the vibe? What draws you to a spot to take in a day's worth of basketball?
Food. I think you can tell that by looking at me. Food. Definitely the food.
All right.
Do you have a go-to food item?
I shouldn't eat them. You know, I'm of an advancing age now, and well, I think I've got good arteries and veins. I shouldn't be clogging them up with chicken wings, but a really well-prepared, like,
yes,
crispy chicken wing is really hard for me to pass up.
Now I'm salivating. Yeah.
Next time you're in Milwaukee, in Jason, shoot me a text, and instead of waiting, you know, wherever you wait for your daughter to get done with ballet, we'll go grab some wings at Points East, and we'll have a good time.
Oh, Points East, haven't been there in a very long time.
I will take you up on that. Although tomorrow, I think we're going to be in Milwaukee again. Maddie's got ballet practice in the morning, and I think Sydney and I were maybe thinking about taking our clubs with us and heading over to AmFam Field.
Ooh.
And seeing if we can hit a few balls at X Golf. So
that sounds like a great little adventure.
Yeah, that's a great place too. Just shoot me a text if you want to do that, Jason. I might be able to get you hooked up with a person or two.
Oh, you know somebody?
I know somebody who knows somebody.
He knows a guy. He's got a guy. He's got a wing guy, and he's got an indoor golf guy.
He'll use those
and he's
connections.
He's got an electrician guy. An electrician guy named Keith.
But did you hear earlier this, Jason? He will not use his connections to get a snowblower. He'd rather be stubborn and snow shovel because someone told him, you're going to need a snowblower. And he said, the hell I will.
Well, Jason, the driveway at my new house, it's very long. And yes, you would look at it and think that you need one. But because people told me that I needed a snowblower, I've decided I don't. After doing a round of shoveling, I realized it probably would be helpful. But at the same time, I can't stand to have those people come back around and say, see, I told you so. So we're just going to shovel it for, I don't know, probably till the end of time at this point.
Super healthy.
I could not be more Team Gabe.
Yes!
I have a beautiful Aaron's snow thrower in my garage. We have now made it through two winters where I have treated it like Cameron's dad treats the Ferrari in Ferris Bueller. It has not yet been out on the driveway. I just sit and look at it and admire it in the garage, and then I go out with my big widescreen high resolution shovel that covers like 4 feet wide of the driveway as you push it. And I am stubborn too. God bless you, Gabe Neisel. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, Jason.
Congratulations on the matching streaks. Jason, have a good one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on ESPN Milwaukee.
You know how much we love Palermo's, and hopefully your freezer's already stocked with Palermo's so you can just kick back, watch the tournament games, throw a pie in at lunch. Hey, why not do it for dinner as well? Because if you get the different brands, you're not eating the same thing for lunch that you're going to have for dinner. Because with Palermo's, their family of brands includes Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie's, Surfer Boy Pizza, and Screamin' Sicilian. They've been doing this for 60 years, so it's no wonder they can have all these brands, and all these brands can stand out and be great. That means that if you have a certain appetite or a certain taste for a certain slice, Palermo's is sure to satisfy that appetite. Find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle, Palermo's. It's Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
Never miss out on a second of the show. Find Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand. Sponsored by Celsius Essential Energy Drink.